couple other things to be praying about. Stella is going to have cataract surgery, I believe, on Tuesday, she said. Where's Rhonda? I saw Rhonda walk in. Did she go downstairs? Oh, there she is, all the way up front. How's Brian? He's a little better. Okay, Brian's still struggling. He had some blood clots in his leg, some other stuff going on. Della said he saw him the other day with a briefcase in his hand walking around his truck. I thought, well, praise the Lord, he must be doing something better. Must be feeling better. Yes? What's his name?
And his name is Alex.
Alex, okay.
And then there's another little boy, I don't know his name, but it's a nurse at the nursing home. Her son is just had kidney surgery. They had to remove the kidney with kidney cancer.
Wow.
And he's 3 years old.
Hmm.
And they're going to start the chemo in 2 weeks.
And what's his name, do you know?
I don't know
okay.
his name. Just, I guess you can just say
yep.
his
God's got him. Anyone else? Yes, Dan. Who's that? What's his? Do you know his name? Ed? Hmm. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Remind me his name. Excuse me? Bernard? I'm asking names purposely this morning. Anyone else? Your friend's mother? What's your friend's name? Brenda. Anyone else? I wrote down these names intentionally because, you know, I believe God. A lot of times I just pray general prayers. A lot of times I don't pray at all. I just say, oh, you guys pray. But today I just feel impressed to pray and lift up names to the Lord. For whatever reason it's different today, I don't know. But yes, Dan. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's, you know what? Stand with me while we pray. Could you do that? Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Evie. And what's the name? What's her name?
Michelle.
Okay. All right. Yes. Oh.
Crystal and her two cats, great granddaughters come up for, well, not really adopted, but they need a place to adopt. And Crystal's thinking about possibly interviewing there. It's got direction.
Amen. Wow, that's a long list. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we stand here together and we join united as one body, the family of God, united in prayer, continued prayer for John and Evie and for their friend Michelle. The doctors say there's 4 weeks. God, you know how many, you know exactly how many seconds there are. Whether it's in 4 weeks or whether it's in 4 years or whether it's in 40 years, God, you choose, not them. So bless this Michelle, Lord God. Give her every second. Let her live, every one of them that you provide for her. Father, I pray for Stell, this eye surgery, and for Brian, this issue in his blood, that you would just touch each of those. We pray for this Alex, Lord God, that you just do wonders and miracles in these people, each and every one. And for this three-year-old, we don't even know his name, God, but he needs you in a desperate way. We pray for Ed, who has throat cancer, and Bernard, who has a relapse of cancer. Lord, this cancer, we hear this word over and over and over again, but that word is not more powerful than the name of Jesus. And we lift up that word. We lift up your word. We lift up you. Over all of this cancer. All of these, Lord. This Barb with cancer, and I'm thinking of Ann with cancer. May the name of Jesus Christ be manifest in each and every one of these lives and bring healing to these bodies. I pray for this Brenda who lost her mom in mourning and in sorrow, just like John and Evie and their family, Lord God. Loss is hard to swallow, but Lord, you hold our hands. You lead us and guide us. Give us direction, even for Crystal, Lord, this morning. Give her direction so that she knows what to do. Lord, don't let any of us do anything out of our own fleshly compulsion, but let us be led by your Spirit in such a powerful way that we would know what the right thing is, that we would perform your will. God, we believe it is your will to heal the sick. We believe it is your will to raise the dead. We believe it is your will, Lord God, to do awesome and wonderful and amazing works right before our eyes. God, I lift these names up to you intentionally this morning. You knew these names long before I did. God, you know exactly what each and every one of these names needs. And so for every name that we have lifted up, we call down one name. And that is Jesus. Intervene in these lives. Let us see with our eyes what our faith believes as you move in powerful ways for each and every one of these names. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glad to have Donna back, although I doubt she's glad to be back. You look a little darker today. Acapulco was good to you, sister. I saw the pictures sitting by the pool. Amen. My wife and I next week will be traveling. Hallelujah. I don't think it's going to be Acapulco type weather, but it's definitely going to be better weather than Waterloo. Amen. Going to Myrtle Beach next week. Be praying for us. As we'll be praying for you all. Next week we have CareNet will be coming and sharing, as well as Safe Harbors will be coming and sharing. And so between the two of them, they'll fill up the service and give you lots of information. Kylie will be leading worship. Hallelujah. So be praying for her. The following week, Brother Doug is scheduled to speak, right? So we need to be praying that the weather will be just wonderful, so that he can do that. But we'll have it covered even if he can't. But we're just going to trust the Lord. So be praying for Doug, that God will just pour out his Spirit on him and just inspire him and give him a word for this church. Hallelujah. Today I want to go back. I want to continue talking about mindsets for a minute. We're not quite finished yet with this whole mindset thing. And so I want to go back to a couple of verses that we talked about already. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. You'll change our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do we understand the severity of what this verse is saying? Do we understand the depth of importance that it is for us to really grasp hold of what this verse is saying? You see, we can't afford to be carnally minded. Why? Because to be carnally minded is death. And so it's very important that we kind of grab hold of what it's saying. It matters what our mindset is. It matters. And if we have a carnal mindset, it leads us away from God. It leads us to death. And so today I want to touch a little bit on what it is to be carnally or spiritually minded. And it's really not as hard as we make it out to be. And there's a way that you can tell. And the way that you can tell whether you're carnally minded or whether you're spiritually minded is in the way that you walk. Now let me show you this. Now we've already talked about this verse as well, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I think I need a new battery. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, now we get a hint. There's no condemnation to those who walk after the flesh, or to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so first I want to talk about this no condemnation thing. How many know that those who are condemned are going to experience death, right? Well, actually before I go there, let me talk about this. I want you to notice something else about this verse before we talk about the condemnation part. Look at the word Spirit there. And look in your Bibles. If you opened up to that verse, you look in your Bibles and you see if that word Spirit is capitalized or if it's not capitalized. It's capitalized, isn't it? You see, there's an importance to the word Spirit. It's not just about a metaphorical spiritual way of walking. It's about walking in the ways of God. You see, when you see that capital letter there, it's talking about the Spirit of God. It's talking about God. And so what it's saying there is that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but walk after God. Okay? They walk after the Spirit of God. And so the condemnation thing, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you want to go, Crystal. I know what the lesson is. They need somebody to tie up. You're going to enjoy that. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, now let's, real quick, I want to go and I want to look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Because it's important to understand what this condemnation thing is. John Verse 16, we all know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, God did not, he does not want us to be condemned, okay? And so, he didn't send Jesus to condemn us. And this is a mindset, again, here's a mindset that I'm battling all the time. People that have this idea that God is just waiting for us to screw up so that he can condemn us. That's not God. He doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to bless us. If that's your mindset, that needs to change, because you don't understand what God's all about, what he came here for, and how much he loves you. Verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light had come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. You know what that portion, Jesus is talking about in that portion of Scripture, the very same thing that Paul is trying to teach us here. There's no condemnation for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, if you are one who loves evil and practices evil and hates the light, then you're one that's walking in the flesh. If you are one who likes the light, that your deeds, you come to the light, that your deeds may be exposed. Now, how many know that God wants us to confess our sins, right? Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Also, confess your sins to God, for he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. If that's you, if you love the light more than the darkness, then you will come to Jesus, you'll talk about your stuff, and you'll pour it all out there, and you won't be condemned. You'll be walking in the Spirit. It says there in verse 21 of John chapter 3, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. What is done in God? Done in God is walking in the Spirit. Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The battery didn't fix it. Thank you, brother. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what is it that proves whether or not we're in the flesh or whether we're in the Spirit? What proves whether we are carnally minded or whether we are spiritually minded is the way we walk. It's the way we walk. If I could have my clicker go to the next slide. Thank you. The word walk in that verse, that's the Hebrew word for it there, means to walk, to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities. The Hebrew word for to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, and to pass one's life. And so if we want to figure out whether or not we're carnally minded or whether or not we're spiritually minded, it's important to pay attention to the opportunities that we are making due use of. If you are making due use of things that are carnal, things of the flesh, then you're walking carnal. You're carnally minded. You're walking carnally. But if you make due use of the opportunities that you have to do what God wants us to do, then you're spiritually minded. You're doing the things that God wants you to do. You're walking in the Spirit. Well, what's that mean? It means due use of opportunities. Remember we talked about, I don't know, I've been speaking so much lately here and there in different places. I'm not sure where I said everything. But somewhere we talked about temptation and how temptation isn't sin, but taking the opportunity that temptation brings, that's the sin. When you do the when you take the opportunity to go along with that temptation. An opportunity comes every day. Sin brings opportunity. There is always opportunity to sin. And so, if we are making due use of the opportunities to sin, we are walking carnally. We are carnally minded, okay? And so, temptation comes. We make due use of the opportunities. Catch yourself. That's a carnal mind. That's a carnal mindset. There's a reason why it's important to pray. There's a reason why it's important to come to church. There's a reason why it's important to read God's Word. We all, every day, have opportunity to pray, to get in God's Word, many days to find a church service and go to church service. Take those opportunities. Why? Because that shows God that you're spiritually minded and that you want to walk in the Spirit when you take the opportunities to do the things that God desires for us to do. Take the opportunity to tell somebody else about Jesus. Take the opportunity to bless somebody, to feed somebody who's hungry. Take the opportunity to clothe somebody who's naked. Take those opportunities to minister to the people that God puts in your path. And you will prove through the due use of the opportunities that you have, whether you're walking in the flesh or whether you're walking in the Spirit. There's nothing magical or mystical about that. What are you doing with your opportunities? Are you carnally minded or are you spiritually minded? See, now we can take and we can examine our day and we can say, hey, you know what? I took opportunities in the Lord today. You know what that means? That means I'm spiritually minded. Versus, you know what I did all day? I took all the opportunities I could to please myself, to feed my flesh, whatever the case may be. And therefore, you know what? I was carnally minded today. That's not a good thing, because the carnal mind is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. We've talked about this time and time again, how much we love peace. Everybody loves peace. We all need some peace. Well, how do you don't get peace when you're carnally minded. You don't get peace when you're walking, when you're taking the opportunities to do carnal things. You don't get peace that way. You only get peace when you make due use of the opportunities of the things of God. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. If this reiterates what we're talking about here. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's that saying? Again, capital what? Capital S. Talking about walking in the ways of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Anybody notice that? That your own desires most times are against what God wants to do? Have you ever noticed that? I know it's true, because that's the way it is with me too. The sin nature inside me, I struggle with that. In fact, if we were to go back to Romans chapter 7, don't go there, but if we were to go there, we could see where Paul talks about how hard it was to do the thing he knew he should do and how easy it is to do the thing he didn't want to do. Because our flesh is always warring. But it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Okay, contrary to one another. I need to underline that because I need to go back there in a few minutes. But if you are led by the Spirit, again, capital S, if you are led by God, you're not under the law. Which law? The law of sin and death. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, do you remember what it said back in John chapter 3? Those who practice evil like the darkness more than the light, right? And here it's saying that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is talking about somebody who is carnally minded, which leads to death. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, again, to walk after the flesh means to make due use of the opportunities of the flesh, which are what it says there. We have a list. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus gives us the list? He shows us this is what walking in the flesh is. If this is what you are making due use of, if you are making due use of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that those who do those things should not inherit the kingdom of God. This is walking in the flesh. If this is what you are making due use of, you're carnally minded. And you're walking in the flesh. Now, I could go through, you know, some of those words are kind of heart, lasciviousness. That's such an evil word, I can't even say it. You have a what? Oh, the NIV, yeah, read it nice and loud. What's the NIV list say?
Sexual immorality, impurity,
adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, and if you're making due use of that stuff, you're walking in the flesh. God made it so easy for us to have an understanding what it is to walk in the flesh, and he points it right out, and he laid it all out there. And you know, the interesting thing, there's only one word I looked up. I looked up the word witchcraft, and I looked it up intentionally because I knew what it had to do with. Whenever you see the word witchcraft or sorcery or something like that, it's really talking about drugs. Did you know that? You do a little word study on witchcraft and you'll find out that the word is actually rooted in pharmakia, which is also, it deals with drugs. Is it any wonder that drug addiction is so rampant in the world today? You going to say it? Yes, sir, brother. Go ahead, read it nice and loud. What version is that? The Life Recovery Bible. Whatever Bible you read it in, it's pretty clear. What are we making due use of? Now, I thank God that God doesn't want us to be condemned, right? And so not only does he show us, okay, if this is what you're making due use of, you're walking in the flesh, this is death. Not only does he give us that list and make it very clear, but he also gives us the other list, which shows us how to walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, see, capital S, the fruit of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. This is, if you're making due use of this list, you're walking in the Spirit. You're spiritually minded. You have a mindset that God will bless. You have a mindset that God, you know what? It says there's no law against that. If there's no law against it, there's no punishment against it. But I can tell you this, there's a law for it. The law of the Spirit of life and peace through who? Jesus Christ. You want to know if you're spiritually minded or carnally minded? take a look at those two lists and figure out what you're making due use of. You know what it is. I don't have to say to you, well, you know, maybe you're doing this or doing that. No, you know what you're doing. You can figure it out. God makes it very clear. You know what? If you're carnally minded and somebody does something against you, the carnal mind says, well, I'm going to get even. That's not walking in the Spirit. We know that the Spirit says to forgive others their debts as, right? To forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. You see somebody who's hungry and you don't feed them, you're carnally minded. Because the Spirit of God says, feed those that are hungry. You see somebody who's cold, you got a coat and they don't have one, and you say, you know what, I think I'm just going to keep my coat and let them freeze. That's carnally minded. That's not spiritually minded. Because we know that God says that if you got a coat, give them the coat. And not only your coat, but give them your shirt too. Go the extra mile. It's pretty easy to figure out whether you're walking with a carnal mind or whether you're walking with a spiritual mind. And so make due use of these opportunities of the love, of the joy, of the peace, of the long-suffering. Long-suffering. I've talked about this word before. Nobody likes long-suffering. Long-suffering means you need to endure some stuff. You know what? I heard somebody recently. Well, you know, my life is terrible, and this is going on, and these people are doing all this stuff, and it just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Well, you can't control what other people do, but you can control you. You can have a mindset that says, you know what, whatever other people do, if I got to endure some stuff for a while, then I'm going to endure some stuff in a while because I want to be spiritually minded. I want to walk in the Spirit. And if I'm going to be persecuted, you know, the Bible talks about, what is it, in the Beatitudes, those who are persecuted, they receive something, right? Is it a bad thing to be persecuted? Well, in the carnal mind it is. But in the spiritual mind, you're going to endure it. There'll be some long suffering, but you'll get through. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Faith. You want to be spiritual minded? You got to trust God. You know, we prayed for a whole lot of people this morning, right? And we prayed by faith because we believe Jesus can heal them. If we were living by faith, you're spiritually minded. You're walking in the Spirit. We live by faith. And then we trust God with the outcome. And so, I got a couple of verses there. Matthew 24, or Galatians 24 and 25. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now that particular verse, the word for walk is a different word. Okay? It says, we've crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Have we really done that? Have we really done that? You know, that's a question for each of us to answer for ourselves. Again, you know the struggle that you have. You know the temptation that you have. You, whatever your sin nature is, you know what that is. And have you truly crucified it? Are you done with it? Well, this is how I talk with addicts, I ask them, usually the first thing I ask them is, are you done? You know, because if you come to me, you know, if I go to them, you know, I'll preach the gospel to them. I'll share Christ's love with them. I'll encourage them. But if they come to me, then my question is, are you done? Because you're coming to me now. You know that I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You know you came to me because you're looking for some help in God, okay? And so before you're going to take two steps forward in God, I want to know, have you crucified the flesh? Are you done? And we can ask ourselves that same question. Am I done with this sin nature? Have I had enough of it that I don't want it anymore? Am I done? Have I crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts? But it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so the word walk in this verse means, it's a different word, stoicheo or whatever it is, to proceed in a row as the march of a soldier. In other words, you get in line with God and you stay and you march. You take His orders, you follow His orders, you go where He goes, you do what He says. You're a soldier of the Lord. Metaphorically, to go on prosperously, to turn out well, to walk. And at the bottom there, to direct one's life to live. If you're living in the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, you direct your life. It's a life that is directed by the Word of God. It's a life that is directed by the Spirit of God. Because again, in verse 25 there, it's a capital S. It's talking about God. You walk in God's ways, not man's ways. And so it's not a hard thing to figure out. How do I live in the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, you know what? You can take that list that we had just a few moments ago, tape it up on your refrigerator, and say, you know what? Today, I'm going to love people. Today, I'm going to choose to have joy no matter what happens in my life. Today, I'm going to walk in the peace of God. Today, if I have to, I'll be long-suffering, and I'll be gentle with those around me, and I'll walk in God's goodness, and I'll have faith, and I'll have meekness, and I'll have temperance. That's what I intend to do today. Do we live intentionally, or do we just kind of let the day happen to us? If we let the day just kind of happen to us, usually we're in reaction mode versus proactive mode. Reaction mode usually doesn't work out so well for us. But if we go into the day proactively saying, you know what, this is who I'm going to be today. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Whatever comes my way, I'm going to do my best to do it God's way. That's a mindset. It's a mindset that you choose to be intentional about our walk with God. Now, here's the problem. Most of us struggle with this. Most of us want it both ways. Most of us want to walk after the flesh and walk after the Spirit, don't we? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Wow, I'm getting hungry. It just hit me. You ever have that when it hits you? It just hit me. Maybe because I'm starting to smell food. I don't know. Anybody else hungry? Yeah, hallelujah.
I'll feed you.
Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Am I right? 19 and 24. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then it says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, most times when we hear that verse, you cannot serve God and mammon, we're thinking about, you know, you can't serve God and money. Well, really, what it's talking about, the treasures of your heart. What do you treasure in your heart? Do you treasure the things of God, or do you treasure the things of the earth, the things of the flesh? It says where your heart is, where to go. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. So if you treasure, you know, go back to that list of idolatry and witchcraft and all those things. If you treasure that stuff, that's where your heart is. But if you treasure love and peace and joy and all those things in that other part of the list, that's where your heart is. You can't have it both ways. You see, you can't. It says if you're either going to love the one and hate the other, you're going to despise, be loyal to one or despise the other. And then that other verse that says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 21, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the devil's table. We can't have it both ways. The way I think about it like this, because the easiest way for me to understand it is a half-truth is a whole lie, okay? So sometimes you might hear something, and there might be some truth in what's said, but it's only kind of like a half-truth. Maybe not the whole. I could give you a sentence. I should have thought of one that's for an example, but I didn't. But I could, in one sentence, I could tell you something that, you know what, there's some truth in that, but it's not all true. And so a half-truth is a whole lie. And so here's the deal. If we're trying to sit at the devil's table and we're trying to sit at the Lord's table, guess what? It's all going to condemn us. The only way that we can move forward in God, the only way that we can be spiritually minded and walk in the Spirit is if we go after God all the way. We sang that song this morning, "Change My Heart, O God." Some of us need a heart change because we're trying to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You either walk in the flesh or you walk in the Spirit. If you're trying to do both, then guess what? It's all flesh. It just doesn't work. And so what's the answer to our struggle with sin and wanting to walk both ways? I have one verse for this, and John the Baptist is the one that said it. And I realize I'm taking it a little bit out of context, but here's the deal. If you want to start to live spiritually, you want to start to walk in the Spirit and be spiritually minded, then do what John said. Begin to decrease in yourself and begin to let Jesus increase inside of you. Okay? Stand with me this morning. What is your mindset? Are you spiritually minded? Are you carnally minded? How are you walking? What are you making due use of? Things of the flesh or things of the Spirit? Things of the world or the things of God? It's pretty easy to figure out. God made it very plain. You know, I spoke at a church Friday night, and I talked about relapse. I talked about sin that beset, you know, besetting sins and things like that. And just like today, I know I'm talking to a lot of believers. I know that probably most everybody in this place is a follower of Jesus Christ to some extent. But I know this, we all still struggle. We all still have temptation. We have this carnal part of us that wants to walk in the flesh, that wants to live in the flesh. And God wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, which is powerful and true. And it's very clear, God. And every one of us standing here tonight, this afternoon, God, every single one of us, we need to decrease in order that you can increase. And so, God, I pray that you will help us to be honest with ourselves and to decide in ourselves whether we are going to be carnal or whether we're going to be spiritual. Whether our mindset will be with the things of the world and the flesh, or whether our mindset will be things of heaven and the Spirit of God. Father, I pray a blessing for each one here in this place. That we would get to the place where we'd be strong enough in your Spirit to crucify our flesh. To be done with it. To be done with that list that we read in Galatians, that list that leads to death. In condemnation. Father, I pray that today would be the day that we would decide in our hearts what treasure it is we're going after. Because where our treasure is, God, that's where our heart will be. May we treasure love and peace and joy and all those things that lead to life in the Spirit. Bless each one today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me, before we break, let me pray for the food too. God.